I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. You may not be seeing many headlines about capsized boats in the Mediterranean, but it's still happening, as thousands of people from the Middle East and North Africa are still desperate to enter the European Union. But even as Europe tightens its physical borders, a whole new business has grown online, a market in other people's passports. My BBC colleague Nawal Al-Magafi has been checking this out. So, Nawal, if you're a refugee, how easy is it to buy fake European documents right now?
It's really just as simple as putting up a post on Facebook, asking for age requirements, specific look. You can say, for example, I'm a young woman, 30 years old, that wears a headscarf, I'm fair-skinned, and are there any passports that fit that requirement? And people will get back to you, because that's what we did. And we received a dozen responses within a couple of hours.
Yeah, so you went undercover to buy papers yourself a few hours and you got them?
Exactly. And it's really important to note that these aren't fake or forged passports. These are people's genuine IDs that they obtained in Europe. And you're looking for pictures that look like you. And so that means when you go through passport control, it's just about whether the person there spots that you're not the exact person in the picture. Otherwise, these are legitimate IDs, and that's what people are using to get to Europe.
So who are the people who sold you these papers?
So actually, this was part of a documentary we're making about Syrian refugees who are giving up on Europe and have decided to go back home to Syria. And as they're making their way back from places like Germany, they're selling the IDs that they obtained in Europe to refugees who are so desperate to get in. At first, that was, you know, the passport trade wasn't part of our story, but as we were following the refugees, we heard about some of them deciding to sell their documents, and that's how we followed this story. We ended up getting in contact with the smugglers, who not only are the same people that bring people into Europe and help people get out of Europe, but they're also the ones that are in charge of this passport trade.
So just to be clear, the picture in the passport, in this fake passport, it's not actually of you. It's of somebody who looks like you, and you ordered it kind of because you have a certain look and you want that look to match.
Yeah. So, for example, when we went undercover, we went to meet with two people. One of them was a father who had just decided to leave Europe, and he was selling his passport, his wife's passport, and their children. And it was just about me figuring out if I looked like his wife enough to be able to pass for her when I tried to use her document to get into Europe. And what we, you know, one of the most important things to realize is when you go to passport control, yes, they'll have a quick look at the photo and at you. But because sometimes people change over time, you don't have to look identical to the photo in the passport.
Right.
And so it's very easy to use it, to use someone else's document, basically. And that's what they're doing. As long as your passport is legitimate when you go to a passport, you know, it goes through the barcode, it's a real passport, then usually it's quite easy to pass. And that's what they're doing. They're taking that risk. They'll buy a passport that looks as close to them as possible, and they'll try their best to get through borders without being spotted.
What about the people who sell the passports? Did they get in trouble?
They're very careful about the way they do it. They will call you and ask you some questions to suss out whether you're really genuinely a buyer, or if it's the police cracking down on you. But they're doing it in Turkey. So the Turkish government, I don't think, have that much of an interest to crack down on them. Selling these passports in Europe.
What about the original owners of the documents? Do they face legal troubles?
Well, they will have left. So a lot of the owners of the IDs will have already given up on Europe. You won't find people in Europe selling their IDs.
So you followed up with the documents you acquired. You got a German passport and you spoke with some German officials. What did you find out? What did you hear?
When I first presented the MP, his name is Stephen Mayer, who is he's in charge of the Home Affairs Committee in Germany. And when I first presented him with the passport, he thought it was a fake passport, because that's another thing that's going on. They're making fake passports in Turkey and selling them. So he said they were already aware of this problem and that they're dealing with it. And then I made it clear to him that this isn't a fake passport. This is a genuine German travel document, and that it was sold on. And then he told me that it was a tremendous problem, and that, you know, he was obviously quite shocked.
I consider the scale of this problem quite huge. For us in Germany, it's a tremendous problem, because our task must be to prevent especially terrorists to travel to Germany by using stolen or lost documents or false documents.
And he said that they're going to have to step up their security because this could be a huge security concern for them in Germany.
So what are EU governments doing about this? What do they plan to do? What does that mean? They're going to step up security.
We know that they're stepping up their border controls. For example, in Greece, which is one of the gateways into, you know, this is Greece is one of the countries that people get to before using these documents to get into places like Germany. So the German authorities have actually sent German personnel to Greece to work in the airports to make sure that they double check the passports before people get through.
Final question, Nawal. In this age of biometric data and facial recognition, should we be surprised that it is this easy to kind of cross borders with a fake document?
We should. No, we definitely should. You know, with all the technology that we have, that this is still happening and it's still possible. More has to be done.
My colleague at the BBC, Nawal Al-Maghafi, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.